Christian greeting to each one this evening again, and we trust that, like the brother said, we came praying, came seeking. What we might hear tonight is we heard it often. But like you said, if we've been praying, and I trust that if God brings to our mind something that is important that we need to remember, that we do something about it. You know, as I thought of a topic last night about husband and wife relationship, God didn't just stay there and say, get married and live together, but he told Adam and Eve, and also he told, after the flood, he told Noah, he said that they be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I believe that it wasn't God's intent that they just produce children. But there he meant that they were to bring them up to know their Creator. In the book of Deuteronomy, we see Moses many times reminded the people of Israel that they were to continue to teach their children, to remind them of who God was. And that is what God requires of us today. That we, as God entrusts these little dear precious souls into our hand, that we remember that He is the giver. He has loaned them to us for a certain time, but that we need to give Him back to Him. And we need to give Him back to Him in proper conditions. I'd like to read a couple of verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know here was speaking to the children of Israel, but I believe there's so much things today for us that we can, that God expects of us as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. It says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that he might do them in the land where ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers, and had promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God." Sorry, let's read again. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words shall I command thee this day, and shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." We are people that are so easily, we forget. You know, we sometimes we look at the Israelites and the way God worked with them. God proved many miraculous acts many times. And you know, we noticed that in their experiences there in the wilderness, it seems that it didn't take long for them to forget what God required of them. As God's people tonight, as parents, God is asking of us that we bring our children back to Him, that we teach them the way to God. And as we think of the topic, how building parent-children relationship, I believe a lot is hinged on us as parents. We can't expect our children to try to build that relationship. And it's a wonderful experience as we work together as husband and wives for the well-being of these dear precious little souls. I still remember when my children were born, my wife had to take surgery for the three that we had. And you know, I was outside waiting when these children, the nurse came to bring these children. And you know, as I hold them in my hand, you know, the feeling, would say, the experience, you know, I remember they just turned and looked right into my eye. There was a connection made there. There was a communication. You know, I marveled how God works that way. My question to you this evening as a parent, what is your attitude? What is your relationship with your children? How do you look at these precious little souls that God has entrusted to you? Do you see them as a blessing or as a hindrance? Do you see them as distraction or nuisance? Or blessed opportunity you have to help mold your lives into vessels that are useful for God's kingdom. The Bible says that children are an heritage from the Lord. They're a blessing, they're a reward from God. We dare not treat them as inconvenience because God values them very highly. You know, many times I say, what would life, what would our marriage be? What our family would be without children? What would a church be this evening if we didn't have children? And yet many times it seems that it's so easy that we offend them. We overlook them. We don't see the importance, the delicate, would say, attention that they need from us. I appreciate that our churches believe in having Sunday school and Bible school. But you know, it a lot of this, we cannot depend on the church. We as parents need to be there for them, to work together, to be there when they really need that nurturing, that admonishing, we'd say, and that training. And it's a lot of work. It takes time. I admire the way my wife relates to her children. And maybe I could tell you a lot of stories this evening about one of the things that I'd like to share this evening. I never grew up, and I said this maybe already, I didn't grow up in a Christian. My dad was a Christian, but I had an experience, and I wonder sometimes, I can see that the Lord has a lot of good in that for me. My mom passed away when I was 3 years old. I grew up without a mother. I grew up without a mother's love. And so, but you know, my dad, he made a sacrifice. You know, he had 12 children. And in fact, my dad just passed away about 6 months ago. And he was a mother and a father to me. You know, many people in her community would have asked him, why don't you get married and get a mother for these children? And my dad would have said, and he told me, I mean, many people told me afterwards that he said, until I find someone that I can trust that will take care of my children without mistreating them. And I could tell a long story. My dad, he took care of us 12 children. My dad had to walk 7 miles every day, 14 miles every day to his work, and he made sure that we had food to eat. He made breakfast for us. He made lunch that we take to school, and he would walk the distance again home in the evening to make sure that we had food and that we were at home and we had clothes and a place to stay. That has left an impression upon my life, and that has you know, made me, I would like to do that for my children. You know, there is no sacrifice too great to help our children. You know, as we think of the value of their soul, as we think of the importance that God, the task He has for them, for each one of them. Each one of them have potential to become great men and great women for God. And I believe that should put us as parents in a place where we need to take time to consider, you know, what is our goal, what is our vision for our children. Today, parents get confused. Many parents have high ideals for their children. Parents would like to see their children excel in this life, maybe become recognized by society, maybe pursuing a high education, finding a status in this life. But you know, as Christian parents, I believe we know that one of the highest call that we can help our children to is to respond to the life of Christ, to the call that Jesus gives each one. You know, I believe we should invest time and effort, make sacrifices that our children learn what the Bible requires of them and what God requires of them. I believe so many times as Christians we can overlook this. You know, we tend to be more concerned about the temporal things, the things that will fade away. But it's important that we look into the eternal future, like we heard tonight. Eternal values. What is it that our desires are for our children? What is it that we're aiming after? You know, as parent, we have to admit that parenting is not an easy job. Especially in the time we're living. It seems that there's so much pressures today. Pressures in the world. Pressures, peer pressure. Society has done a great job in trying to influence our children to look the other way, to turn their backs from God. And how can we as parents remind them to keep their focus right? I believe it starts first with how we live, how we take our Christian life. You know, we should never be sending double signals in the lives of our children. Our children need to see that we are totally committed to Christ. And how can we do that? Is because if we follow what the Word of God teaches. I like to read the verses there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Any fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In Colossians chapter 3, verses 21, I believe the verse almost say the same thing there. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." There is something that we as parents can fall into so easily, is that we can discourage our children. We can do things and say things that could be a discouragement to our children's lives. Here we say that we need to build. You know, we can't be building if we're discouraging. And so I believe it's so important that we be careful not to discourage, not to provoke, not to belittle, not to hurt these innocent soul. Someone said, as parents, we need to be like cushion to these delicate innocent children. You know, this world is so crude and, we'd say, hard. You know, children do not deserve the cruelty of what this world offers. And so God has provided a home, a Christian home, where parents can teach and train their children. It's a place where they can feel at home, where they can feel loved, where they can feel accepted. You know, if we do not show them this great duty, where will they go? They cannot weather the storm by themselves. I believe we need to take this responsibly in a godly fear. You know, Jesus said that if we offend one of these little ones, it is best for us to be thrown into the bottomless sea. And that's what Jesus take this if we do not take time for these dear precious souls. If we as parents obey God's other instruction, how to relate to our children, we can build a relationship with them that could be a joyous time, a time of happiness, a time where we can share the goodness of God and share that relationship that we as people need, that God created. You know, the Bible tells us that we need, in Scripture says that we need to administer firm discipline in love. And, you know, as parents, especially as fathers, I believe that is so important that we, you know, as we correct, as we share discipline, that we do it in love. And on both sides, we'd say as parents, we need to raise them up in love. And love should be the driving force why we care for them. As we read those scriptures there, it reminds us that we should never aggravate our children by nagging them or deriding them or destroying their self-respect. You know, by now we know that children are made up differently. We can't expect that all of them will respond the same way to the same situations. You know, I mentioned the other night that one of the things that blesses my heart as a parent, as a father, and as these children, you know, sitting around the table in the evening when we can all get home and hearing each one sharing their heart. I think it's so important that we listen. You know, my older girl, she's the one that would, she thinks twice before she says something. Whenever she says something, I know she's going to say something that makes sense. My next daughter, she would just say things out of her head. I mean, just at the start of the moment. Well, my oldest boy, he just talks. He doesn't stop, and he gets into trouble many times. But I have a little boy dear. He's going to be 11. I just enjoy observing that when someone is talking, he's just observing everyone and he's listening. And I just enjoy watching him. You know, his little eyes are just, you know, each one of them have the way how they relate. But I think all of them are special. And, you know, as a father, I thank God for the blessings that we can enjoy them. Yes, we have our times of, we'd say, when things are not supposed, they don't go the way they should. And that's normal. I believe that sometimes children have a way, they have their own self-will, where we need to lead them. But I believe the times that we enjoy together, the times that we enjoy each other, makes up, we'd say, it's overpass the times that we have our little differences amongst us. And I thank God for that. I believe that, you know, sometimes I say I'm not worthy to enjoy that love and that friendship, that relationship we have with our children. But as a father and as parents, it's so easy for us to give in to indulgence. You know, laughing after coarse jokes or, you know, letting them get away with things that we know that are not right. as parents, we can easily fall into that kind of a error there, and we suffer for it. I believe God wants us to be honest and upfront with them, and that we share our hearts. We share when we're hurt about the things that they're saying or doing. As children, as these dear innocent little children are permitted into our homes, you know, we need to be sensitive to guide them, to give them structure. You know, and that's where we believe the Bible teaches that we need to have guidelines in our homes. We need to set boundaries and guidelines. You know, these things do not embitter children. Instead, they allow the child to live freely, securely within those boundaries. I remember a brother that he's been used a lot in Central America, and he rebelled against his parents. But you know, he would always come back and said, you know, he was happy and thankful that his parents had set boundaries and were, you know, cared for him. And he thinks that's what brought him back. And so we don't need to look at it as, you know, we don't want to hurt our children's feelings, but I think we do so much good for them when we know what is expected and they need to live within those boundaries. Parents, I believe that's one thing that God desires of us, is that we be patient. Patient with our children. Patience is a factor in raising children. It takes a lot of patience to raise children, in loving children, in honoring them, and in teaching them the right way. You know, the verse says that we are not supposed to provoke them. You know, frustration and anger causes provocation, and the child gets discouraged and bitter in life. There are many children that have left home because of improper treatment, we'd say, of not being loving, because of parents not being loving. You know, as we treat our children, we think of the example of Jesus Christ, how Jesus treat people. In the Bible we read that, you know, Christ looked on the multitude of people that were following him. You know, even those that maybe were just following him because of the food that he gave them. But he said in one of the scriptures there, he says, as Jesus looked at these people, he said he was moved with compassion. And you know, that's the way we need to be, full of compassion towards our children. We need to love them. Even when they're doing things that hurts us at times, you know, can we have that compassion that Jesus had? That it would move us. That we pray with them, that we hear them, that we forbear with them instead of responding in that frustration way and anger. Again, as the child should see in us as parents the life of Christ, you know, we can be teaching, we can be instructing. But if we're living differently from what the Bible says about the life of Christ, it brings confusion. And I believe we need to display that pure, holy life that Jesus asked of us as his disciples. When children see us being obedient to the Word of God, this helped them develop an understand of who the Lord really is. You know, when they can see it in my own life, when I respond to situation the way the Lord would respond, you know, they can learn much more from that than from me instructing them. I understand that here in the States, a lot of you go hunting with bow. We don't do that much in Belize, but I had to think of a bow and arrow. And the Bible says that in Psalms 127, let's maybe read those verses there. Psalms 127. I'll read from verse 4 to verse 5. It says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that had his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I don't know how much about hunting with bows, but I believe that for you to use an arrow, you don't just go and you pick it up and go hunting. I believe you should take time and notice if this thing is going to be effective. And it takes time to, whether you need to change a point, whatever. What about when going into the forest, you have something you want to aim after? Whatever your target is, whatever you're shooting, I guess you need to recognize or know what you're going after. You know, it's the same way as we raise our children. What is our aim? What is our target? Are we just going to raise them because everybody's raising children? I think there needs to be something set ahead. There needs to be a goal. And you know, I believe that sometimes even in our church setting at times, it seems that it's so easy that we as parents can become so competitive. And we try to see who can excel each other. I've seen this in churches where parents try to let their children excel against each other, and especially in this secular education. And you know, we see the results, the sad results, that most of those children tend to turn away farther from God. I think it's something that we need to be careful about. I believe that once you have stretched that bow and let that arrow go, once that bow is going, you can never divert, or you can never decide that you want it to go a different way. And you know, this is the time that we need to direct our children in the right direction. You know, some people think that it's at a later age, or there will be a more convenient time. We heard already that children start learning at an early age, and I believe that's where many parents some time have failed, because they thought there would be a better opportunity, a better time. But you know, those things that they have missed out when they were younger, it's hard for them to get a hold of. What is our aim for our children? What is our vision for our children? Do we want them to be men that will be seen or be recognized in society? Or do we want them to be strong pillars in the church? And what are we doing about it? Are we setting a pattern? Are we being examples? I think there is no greater joy, like John said, than to see that our children walk in truth. You know, it brings us joy. One of the things that me and my wife have always talked to our children, I said that we want them to have a personal contact with Christ. You know, we pray for that we don't want to usher them into church life. We want them to meet Christ. And you know, it sometimes it takes longer, but it blesses us, you know, when our children can come in and say, Dad, the Lord has been speaking to me. I feel so sinful. I need the Lord in my heart. And you know, we can kneel down together and pray, and you know, it brings a real joy to our hearts to see our children making those decisions. I believe today we can be so, it's so easy for us to usher them into church life, without them having a personal relationship with the Lord. And it's not, it doesn't only stay there, but it's a continuous thing. Yes, even today, we need to be reminding them. My wife keeps reminding her girls, you know, is this what the Lord would want of you? And sometimes those things does not, they don't accept it as easily. But, you know, later when they can write her a note or take time, it says, Mom, I appreciate for you taking time with us. It takes work. It takes commitment. It takes dedication on our part to encourage them. I like the example of Hannah in the book of Samuel. I won't take time to go in there. But you know, her prayer was, she prayed for that child. And I believe as parents, we were praying for our children. We prayed maybe before we had our children, we asked the Lord to bless us with children. But it seems as that conception was made, prayer had diminished. No, it's an ongoing thing. We need to keep praying for those children. Grandfathers, grandparents that are here, I know you're praying for your grandchildren. It's not a one-time done deal, but we need to keep praying. And I think it's so important. But I like Hannah's attitude, you know, that she asked God for this child. And she never dragged her feet when it was time to take him back to the temple. You know, she did. She prepared him. She made a preparation in giving him back to God. And I believe that is what child rearing is about today. We need to make preparation. This is the time when we need to hug these children. Teach them in the way of God. Teach them the truth. Show them that there is a God that loves and cares for them. A God that one day they need to stand before. You know, there is so much sadness today in the world. Many people abandon their children. Many people are running away from that responsibility. I shared an experience we had a couple of months ago. There was a girl that was brought to our house. We never asked for her. The social department just came, and in fact, they never even left her at our house. They just left her with one of my sister-in-law and said, this child is going to stay at your place. This child was in very desperate need. She had a growth in one of her face, and she was conscious of it. And she's been there for almost a year. And her mom does not, she does not care. We tried to make contact with her and ask her to please come, and because the doctor said that she had to come up to the States to take a surgery. And we made contact and asked her to come. And the thing was that she never even took interest in getting her passport, her birth certificate. And this child was there with us. And, you know, it seems that, you know, sometimes we wonder how can humanity become so cruel in neglecting, you know. At this point, we don't know where the child is. But she never got to her need there. I believe it's important that we recognize the preciousness of raising children or rearing children, and also the opportunity, the blessings we can receive of molding these precious souls that one day could become useful vessels for God. I want to read a little story here in closing that I guess one of our In Belize, we have an Antorcha de la Verdad. It's a newsletter we use there in Central America. But it speaks of, maybe we can learn something from the opossum's example. And I'd just like to read it here. It says, one morning a man went for a walk. As he walked on the road, he saw an opossum with some young ones on her back. As the opossum trotted energetically along on the other side of the fence, the man followed along, watching her curiously. Suddenly, the animal stopped and decided to cross the fence. She then crossed the road and headed towards some apple trees that were full of fruit. the opossum trotted off into the tall grass carrying her young. As the man watched the opossum heading home with her young on her back, he began to meditate on the fact that it is not strange for animals to care for their young this way. The little ones were all heavy load on the opossums. It would have been much easier for her to walk alone, but Mrs. Opossum did not even think of leaving her children with Mr. Fox while she went looking for apples. Isn't this exactly the opposite of what a lot of parents are doing today? They leave their children with strangers that could well be wolves in sheep clothing. These parents don't know that what their children will see or hear while they're gone. Mrs. Opossum was intent on having her children coming home with her. She didn't get discouraged with all the weight. She didn't let fences or dangers or road keep her from getting there. We too ought to be intent on leading our children home, to our heavenly home, that is. Could parents experience a greater joy than seeing their children receive the salvation that Jesus gives and knowing that they are heading towards their heavenly home? You know, one of the things that the only thing that we can take with us when we leave this earth is our family, our children. Isn't it worth it to invest our time? May God bless each one.